I'm Alex Breitenbach.
I'm Sean Cabrera, and this is the Big Red Hockey Cast, the official podcast of Cornell Big Red Hockey for and from the Line of Faithful, sponsored by the Big Red Sports Network. Well, firstly, as always, thanks for listening, and check out the Big Red Sports Network at Cornell BRSN on Instagram to never miss out on any Big Red action. So we're straight off coming back from the eighth edition of Red Hot Hockey between our Cornell Big Red and our longtime rivals, the Boston University Terriers, this past Saturday night. Well, let's just say it was a fantastic game, a 10-goal thriller right at the very end of it. Cornell managed to outlast Boston University 6-4. 6-4. You don't see those score lines every day. And we're just going to head on straight to those Cornell goals. The first one was scored by Kovic, who was assisted by Sebastian Durbin and Matt Steinberg. The following goal was scored by Andre Pjanicka, who was assisted by Haskinen and Penny. Following that was Andreev, who was assisted by Brendan Locke and Sam Molinsky. The next goal was scored by Brendan Locke, who went unassisted. The following goal was also unassisted, this time scored by Sam Molinsky. And lastly, the Cornell final goal was scored by Ben Berard, who was assisted by Tim Rigo and Jack Malone. Well, let's just say with this 6-4 scoreline, Cornell did not screw the pooch. So what did we see from this game?
So honestly, Sean, first of all, a great game, a 6-4 victory, like you said, on the hallowed ice of Madison Square Garden in New York City. And this is a tradition that has gone back many, many years. And it is actually our third consecutive Red Hot Hockey victory. And since we've done, like you said, eighth edition, and it is the third consecutive. And so we've tied the series, actually, at 3-3-2. So BU and Cornell have had this long time rivalry. And for you Line of Faithful, you always remember the chant that's like, screw BU. And then we always end in or add in whatever other school we're playing. That is the namesake and the roots of that chant. And it is seated in this deep rivalry between the Terriers and the Big Red. Now, I got to say something first about my reflections on the atmosphere at Madison Square Garden. Yeah. Usually the crowd is always predominantly a Big Red atmosphere. However, well, actually, I shouldn't even say Big Red because, you know, Big Red could go both ways in this case. So I got to say predominantly a Cornell-dominated audience. Right. There are quite a few BU fans that do show up. And they often sit at one end of the ice, like next to the BU band, and that's it. The rest are Cornell guys, and it's always a fun time. You know, you get alumni from basically all over the world that show up for this game, and it has always been a sight to see. Now, from personal experience, I got to say, as the cowbell guy this year, I almost got the cowbell confiscated coming in the gates of Madison Square Garden there. That was a very interesting experience. Had to painstakingly explain to the security guard that I was technically part of the band. It's impossible to tell somebody that's never been to Cornell what the hell the cowbell is and the significance of that for Big Red Hockey. So that was the only sort of mishap, I guess, of that night. And thank you so much to Joe Sugarman for saving my life, that the manager of the band, manager of the Big Red Band, for saving my life there and saving the sanctity of the cowbell. So that was a great game. Like you said, 6-4 victory. And I want to talk about that goal from Sam Molinsky. Absolute highlight. Like, that's, I know he's a defenseman, but that's a Connor McDavid style goal right there. Just an absolute chip up in front of the deep. Well, it was a bad turnover at first, but he's standing way down low, gets the puck, chips it past the D, and then some of this like just turns on the Jets and has some of the sickest hands I've ever seen. And, you know, in this league, to score, you got to elevate the puck. And elevate he does. Sweet elevation and an unbelievable unassisted goal. And that was a sight to see. Now, let's get into some statistics of the game. I know you just brought up the goals. Yes. So on the power play, again, still struggling on the power play. We did manage to convert once out of four and only five shots on goal for the Big Red on the power play. Now that, I mean, they did score a lot, even strength, so you can't exactly blame them. Still, though, would like to see a little bit more crashing the net on the power play. However, flip side of that, penalty kill, absolutely lights out. 5 of 5 on the penalty kill and 9 shots against. So, obviously, definitely a better showing on defense. For shots, in general, shots on goal, we actually got outshot. And this is one of the few games where I'll say, you know, this game could have gone either way. You know, the BU scored in like the last final seconds of the game to make it 6-4. And they had consistent pressure the entire game. And so this was a difficult victory for Cornell in that regard, in terms of shots, in terms of faceoffs, 34-30 in favor of BU. So again, Cornell kind of losing that physical edge toward the end of the game there. So an interesting trend that we see this game. However, when you get to goalies, Joe Howe, our man Joe Howe got the start for the Big Red. His first ever appearance at Madison Square Garden, the first Cornell goalie to do it since Matty Galata had done it the last three years in a row. And then so he made 27 saves on 31 shots, and that cracks out to be an .871 save percentage. Not terrible.
Yeah.
I will say the nerves. The nerves played a big factor early on, and only early on. And I say that because the first two goals, BU scored twice very quickly. Well, we ended up tying it up, but BU did score, come out of the gate real fast. And the nerves were trying to settle in. You know, Cornell doesn't have all of the depth that they used to have back in 2019, 2020. They lost a lot of players. And a lot of these kids, these freshmen, have never played at Madison Square Garden before. It's right. Understandable, completely understandable.
Yeah, it's a grand stage.
Absolutely. It's a bigger stage. And so, you know, I'd say a solid performance from Joe Howe there. On the flip side of that, BU goalie Drew Commesso, who I don't know if I should necessarily say this, but is slated to be either the starter or the backup to the U.S. national team at the junior championships that are happening later in January. 23 saves on 29 shots and a .793 save percentage for him. Should we be worried for the U.S. national team here? Drew, I'm sorry. Anyways, so like you said, notable performances, a goal and an assist for our boy Malinsky, and a goal and an assist for Brendan Locke. And so definitely, like we said, BU definitely came out blazing. But Cornell was able to push through physically. I think the physicality of the game cannot be understated. And that is how they cemented the 3-goal lead that put the game away. They started to give a little bit in the end when BU started to score more, and that was quite scary. However, our physicality in the end is kind of what you know drove it home.
Yeah,
in the end, and so that was definitely a good game. Sean, do you have any other thoughts about that?
Well, if you were a defenseman, this was not really the best game to look at. I mean, again, 6-4. 6-4. You already see one half of that scoreline. You're like, 6 goals. Then you look at the other side, 4 goals allowed. Let's be real. It was an offensive powerhouse of a show, really.
Yes.
You were there for an offensive spectacle.
Yes.
You didn't see the best defensive work from either team, but you still got – like you said, the atmosphere alone was electrifying. You're in the grandest stage of them all in the hockey world. You're in New York City on top of that. I think Cournot should be proud of themselves. Sure, they were outshot. They were on the losing end or lagging end of faceoffs for the most part, even though it was nearly evenly split. But for what they did, Cornell should be proud of themselves for really outlasting. That's the key word. They outlasted Boston University.
Yes. Oh, definitely.
The Terriers were rabid. You said it yourself. The Terriers came out and started the game incredibly strong. I mean, the first period alone ended 3-2. The first period alone ended 3-2. And following that, the second period would be 4-3. You already saw this was a high-scoring debacle, if you want to label it as such.
Yeah.
But just to basically summarize it, the Cornell really penalty kill system is working fantastically, per usual, as expected. Power play, well, I mean, what can you say about it? It could always use improvement, but at least it were 1-for-4. Not the worst, I suppose, even though 5 shots were only registered, like you already said. But for some reason, Cornell excels on even strength. It's really inexplicable.
Yeah, I'm very surprised by that. You know, most of the teams, if you think about their producing offensively, it's either they got a killer power play. I hate saying this. We're only 9 of 24 total opportunities since we've started the season. Again, that's using the Harvard game as the basis for it. Since we started league play, 9 of 24 total opportunities on the power play. So not doing very well there. That is something that going forward is really going to help us crash the net more and create better opportunities and definitely close out games. I think at even strength, I think we're doing unbelievably. But I think, like you said, this is definitely not a game where you came to watch the defense play.
No,
not at all. Not at all. And I just wanted to say something. With this victory at Madison Square Garden, it is very interesting to note that Cornell has actually moved up in the USCHO.com national NCAA poll rankings. They're now in 9th place.
All right.
Comparative to their previous 10. So they are moving up in the world. And they are tied for first place in the ECAC with Harvard at 14 points apiece. And so this playoff picture, now dare I say that on November 30th, the time of recording, this playoff picture is starting to look very interesting as we progress with the season. So, but yes, definitely a very nice game to watch and definitely a lot more hockey left in the season. So no reason to go away anytime soon. Now, with that, I wanted to get to the sin bin. Now, on the sin bin this week, I'm going to leave it because I introduced him in the sin bin himself, and this is a guest we've waited a long time for most of the line of faithful, and this is no pun intended. He is quite literally our favorite player. For those of you who get that, you know, I'll Venmo you something. Because you get a special prize because it comes from a long you'll have to dig deep to figure out where this comes from, but that's your hint. He's our favorite player. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another edition of the Sin Bin here on the Big Red Hockey Cast. This week we have a very special guest. And if for those of you Line of Faithful who remember the Christmas tribute that they did last year, on the first day of Christmas, who did your true love give to you? Your favorite player, Sam Malinsky. How's it going, man?
Really good, really good. Thanks for having me on. Surprised you remember that Christmas video.
Oh, hell yeah. How could we forget it? I actually tried to make that a chant the last game because I wanted to do something special ahead of, like, Christmas. Problem is nobody could memorize the lyrics in time, so we'll have to work on that. But that's coming down the pipe. I'm really excited for it.
But anyways, how was practice, man? I know we were talking about this off air, but how was practice?
Yeah, it was good. Like I said, it was only like an hour 15 today, and it's our Tuesday is our pace day or our race day. So it's our day where we get in shape a little bit of conditioning, and it's really upbeat. So yeah, it was good.
Well, great to hear. Good to hear from the boys. So anyways, I'll just jump right in. So the Big Red definitely on fire right now, 5-1 in league play, 8-1 overall, and a 6-game winning streak thus far, and an absolutely amazing heart-stopping victory this weekend at Madison Square Garden for those of you who came out against longtime rival, the Boston University Terriers. And we captured the third consecutive, well, technically speaking, consecutive Red Hot Hockey Cup. And so let me ask you, what was the feeling like to play on the greatest ice in the world and to get that W for the team after such a long time off? How does it feel?
It was obviously an amazing experience. Anytime you have a chance to play in that building, it's awesome, and the atmosphere is just incredible. But it feels like it kind of sucked we missed out on that experience last year without having our season. But obviously grateful we were able to get back in MSG and experience that once again.
Oh, yeah. And Kyler Kovic scoring his first ever Cornell goal at Madison Square Garden. That's something.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be happy for him. No better place to do it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And so, but let's talk about your goal for a second, your goal at MSG. From your own zone, quick little deke, and then it's off to the races, some sweet hands, sick elevation, and then Merry Christmas, New York City. It's your favorite player, Sam Molinsky. So let me ask you something. I really got to ask this. So first of all, what is it like to score a beautiful goal like that at such a big moment and a critical moment for the team?
Yeah, I don't know. It was obviously pretty exciting. But yeah, I actually almost turned the puck over right before that play happened, but it worked out, and it was obviously very exciting being able to make a play like that and in that atmosphere and in that arena and at that time of the game as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely critical juncture there. That was unreal. Absolutely felt like a godsend. Now I gotta know. Let's be honest here. So is it genetic? Is there anyone else in the family, in the Molinsky family, that's got those hands? I know you got some brothers.
Yeah, I have two brothers. My older played hockey in high school. Now he's just a men's league guy now. But and then my younger brother plays in the NHL. The NAHL.
Ooh.
So he's looking for a school right now to play at. And
ooh, nice.
Other than that, though, my dad played high school back in the day, but yeah, nothing major.
Ooh, it's a little bit of family competition there occasionally.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Absolutely. We always have fun when we're skating together, me and my brothers.
Yeah, and so let me just follow that up. So how does that feel, especially as a defenseman, to show off the fast hands for once and, you know, showcase yourself as a multifaceted player? And I know we'll get into this in a bit, but like, you know, being a defenseman, not just taking the big shots from the point. So
yeah,
how does that feel?
No, it's nice because you obviously don't, as a defenseman, you don't obviously don't get to jump up into the rush as much as you'd like, but when you do get chances, you like to try to take advantage of them as much as you can, especially as an offensive-minded guy like myself. So I obviously enjoy getting the opportunity to jump up in a play like that.
Yeah.
Now, Sam, you're amongst one of the best defensemen in the nation, a point we can't emphasize enough and that we'll always be touching upon in this episode specifically. Now, be honest with us, all right? Do you feel that defensemen don't get enough love?
that's a tough question. I mean, I know we get a lot of love from our teammates and from our coaches, but obviously it's a bit tougher to get on the score sheet. So in that manner, but I wouldn't say we don't get as much love as we deserve. I think we still get it.
All right, fair enough. And, you know, just going back onto, you know, just playing up high and jumping, you know, I feel they always get stereotypes, but not like not just at Cuernavaca in general. Like defensemen are seen as the guys that create those huge blasts from the point and are always back, and are always in the back, really. But defensemen, like what we just mentioned earlier, can score, can obviously score anywhere, and they could just score too in general, not just from up high. So, you know, we always hear everyone talk about Ovechkin being in his office, quote unquote, where he usually scores his goals from. So surely you and your D partner, Seb, have quote unquote offices of your own where you love to be on the ice, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, we both like to shoot the puck from the point anytime you get it. We like to blast it down to the net. Especially anytime you're in, as you said, Ovechkin's kitchen. But yeah, I mean, like I said, we like to try to create offense from the blue line. So, and that's something our coaches have worked on with us. So we try to implement that into our game anytime we can.
Now, just curiously, was that always a place you like to shoot from, or is it more recently, was that more recently developed with your time here at Cornell?
No, I've always liked shooting the puck from the blue line. Yeah, I definitely shot the puck a ton in juniors with a ton of opportunity there. And I mean, just with our coaches, we work on it every day in practice, just shooting from the blue lines and looking for tips and redirects in front of the net. So, yeah, I'd say it's something that's always been a part of my game, but I've definitely helped develop here.
Right. All right. Now, with respect to your game stats-wise, you've had 21 points with 5 goals and 16 assists. So you have also been an all-Ivy League honorable mention twice and ranked 5th nationally among defensemen. Obviously, the team is the priority, but we got to ask, how does it feel to get recognized for your hard work?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously pretty cool to have that stat line, but it doesn't come without my team. And that's the main focus of all of our players. So we pretty much just look at our record and trying to figure out how we can develop as a team and just kind of improve our chances at making the tournament and eventually getting to a national championship.
Hey, well said.
I love that. That's very well said. A great answer. You know, I love how you talk about the individual effort is a lot, but at the end of the day, you know, you guys are a team. It's about getting the W, and I love the fact that they place the needs of the team above their own. So now that we're going to get into this, we've asked this to every guest that's come on the show so far. And there's been very different answers, but now it's your turn. So I wanted to ask you, who out of all your years with Cornell hockey has been your mentor figure or the person you've looked up to the most?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think someone I've talked to quite a bit over the past couple of years, he graduated 2 years ago, but was Yanni Caldas, who was a similar build to me, also a defenseman. And I've talked to the coaching staff as well about just trying to take that next step in my game, similar to how he did after his freshman or sophomore year. And I think we just have similar games in particular ways. So yeah, there's obviously a lot I can learn from him, and I think I can he can help improve my game. There's a lot I can take away from his game and put it into mine, I should say, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. Captain Caldas, the legend from Quebec. No, that's a great choice. Love that. So going back further in time, you're from Minnesota, the state of hockey in the U.S. When did you first realize that you were getting better than some of your peers and that you could pursue hockey at the NCAA level?
Yeah, so I was actually a bit of a late bloomer, most would say. So I didn't take hockey entirely seriously. I played football.
Ooh.
I quit football after my sophomore year, and that was kind of when I was like, all right, I'm going to go for this. Like, it seems somewhat realistic, and then just kind of became more and more serious over the next couple of years. And then I started getting looks from junior teams after my senior year, or throughout my senior year, and then started getting more and more college looks throughout juniors, and eventually led to Cornell, which I'm very grateful for.
So did a lot of your friends play hockey? Is that kind of why you made that's a very interesting transition. Like, you know, we've seen, I think it was Tim Tebow who played multiple sports, but that's crazy. So from football to hockey. So did a lot of your friends play hockey? Was it any peer element of peer pressure there or no?
Yeah, pretty much all my friends played hockey, actually. I obviously had a bunch of friends on the football team as well, but my close group of friends all played hockey, and a lot of them still do, actually. Some of them have been lucky enough to play. They're playing college, Division I or Division III. So obviously really, really close to them still. And you could say they probably influenced me a little bit in making my decision to pursue a career in hockey.
Nice. Completely off topic, but what position did you play in football?
I was just about to think the same thing.
Everybody asks. I played cornerback, so defensive back, and then a little bit of receiver as well.
Gotcha. Always a fast guy then.
Yeah, so I think it actually translates to parts of my game in hockey, in like regards to defending players and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Now, so what specifically about Cornell made you want to come here for undergrad and to continue your hockey career?
Yeah, I mean, it was a no-brainer in my opinion. They were one of the last schools to start talking to me, and as soon as I got the call, I was kind of like, oh, if they offer me, I feel like I got to take this one with how good of a program they are with their coaching staff, and just with the education in general, it's like no other. So as soon as I told my parents, my mom and dad, about the possible opportunity of coming here, they jumped all over it and pushed me towards it as well. But I'm forever thankful for that.
Oh, nice. Wait, so Schaaf called you or no?
I actually didn't talk to Schaaf until my visit here, but which was after I committed. But I talked to Benny Sire and Coach Flanagan as well. So Flanny was actually the first to recruit me, as he went to one of my junior games in Aberdeen.
Oh, nice.
All right. Now, looking ahead to this weekend, on Saturday, the Big Red will play one of the most highly anticipated matches of the year as they travel to Potsdam for a marquee matchup against our old enemy, the Clarkson Golden Knights. Now, what elements of our game will need to be the sharpest in order to bring home the W, Sam?
I mean, everything needs to be good, to be honest. We need to play a full 60 minutes. We've struggled with that recently, and need to make sure we're staying disciplined with our sticks and staying out of the penalty box. And there's areas all over the ice we need to be strong on and make sure we're playing our game with that. And obviously our power play has struggled a bit. So it would be nice if we could get some of that squared away and ready to go for this weekend.
Got you. And are some of the boys keen on settling some scores this weekend? Some personal bouts?
I mean, maybe in some manners, but I wouldn't say in particular.
All good.
Oh, I'm surprised, because I mean, you have memories of the 5-1 victory of senior night. That was senior night in 2019-2020. We played Clarkson that last game before COVID. Interesting.
That game was an absolute blast, and obviously sucked. It was our last game, but I have good memories of that game back at Lina.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'll bet. Now, so let's get more candid about the team for a moment. So the Big Red seems to have no shortage of even strength offense, and we've been putting up absolutely ungodly numbers in that department. And also we've been amazing on the PK. However, the Big Red have been struggling with converting chances on the power play. They've only converted 3 of their last 10 power play opportunities over the last 2 games, that's BU and Yale, and 9 of a total 24 power play opportunities during league play since we played Harvard. Now, in your mind, what parts of the Big Red's power play need to be improved going forward in order to create more chances and start converting more on the power play?
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways, we're just kind of overthinking it. At the end of the day, it's hockey, and I think a few of us are getting really frustrated with just not being able to score on the power play. And like, we still are generating chances, and it really, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what our power play percentage is. We should just be looking at our next opportunity, our next power play, and doing our best to convert and get on the scoreboard.
Yeah, well, that's fair. That's a wise analysis there. Now, so with that, do you have any more reflections, comments, criticisms, anything just about your experience playing with Cornell hockey and, you know, what it's been like?
Yeah, I mean, nothing in particular, obviously. Very grateful for the opportunity to play here and get an education from here. And I think it was one of the best decisions of my life. So obviously very, very thankful.
No, awesome. All right. So thank you, Sam Malinsky, for joining us here on the Sin Bin. And with that, we're going to move out of the Sin Bin, but don't you listeners go anywhere, as we're now going to head into the Slapshot round. We'll see you over there.
All right, welcome to the Slapshot round, where we ask hard-hitting and fun questions and have you, Sam, answer them as quick as you can. So, are you ready, Mr. Malinsky?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do this. So, favorite place to study on campus?
It's got to be Mann Library.
Good choice. Is there a specific reason why you just happen to be there a lot?
I like the couches and the beanbags. Naps there. Nice. I don't know. It's a comfortable place to be.
Nice. Wait, what's your major?
I'm in the hotel school.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
So I go to the Statler Library as well. A decent amount.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that came immediately to my head as soon as you said that you were a hotelie. I was going to ask that too.
Yeah.
Now, what is the NHL team most likely to win the Stanley Cup this season?
Oh, that's a good question. I haven't even followed the NHL a ton as much as I should, but I'm gonna hope for a Minnesota Wild Stanley Cup. They're actually having a decent season, so
let me tell you, I'm pretty sure they're first place in the Central Division right now.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that I think overall they're the second best in the Eastern Conference. I'm gonna have to fact check that, but I'm almost positive they're like second best behind Calgary.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Is that your favorite team?
Yeah. Yeah. I've followed them for a long time, obviously. So it'd be awesome to see them.
Now, I'm just noticed you have a Capitals jersey behind you. Is that yours or is that your roommate's or what?
My brother gave it to me a long time ago.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. There's no backstory really, but I always played with the Capitals when I play like NHL with them on like Xbox or whatever. So give me a jersey. Yeah.
All right. So what is a skill you're good at besides hockey, of course?
Oh, that's a hard question. I don't think I can say school either. I've learned to actually during quarantine, I started to pick up guitar a bit. So that was something kind of, It's very hard to play not good, but something I'm working on.
Hey, that's all right. We all have to start from somewhere, man. And I'm very sure someone else on the team has also picked up guitar. I'm trying to remember who it was. It was one of the – it was either Locke or Haskinen. I'm trying to remember who – someone else picked up guitar.
I'd put my bets on Cody because – well, Locke had also said he was interested in guitar, but then Locke said he was really good at darts.
Yeah, you're right. I think it is Haskinen then. Is there a duet in plan for you two in the events that it is Haskinen?
I don't know if I'm on that level to be able to play with someone else yet, but maybe we'll have to line something up.
All right, I'll be there front row. Now, if you could be a superhero, any superhero, who would you be?
Oh, that's a hard question too. I gotta go with. I'm just gonna say Superman. Kind of a cop out answer, but I think being able to fly would be pretty sweet.
Not a cop-out answer, it's a classic answer. It's
Yeah,
a
it's a
classic one.
long walk to class. It'd be nice to fly there.
That's true. You always have
Yeah.
heat vision, heat up your hands, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So with that, now I've also asked this question to most everyone who's been on the Slapshot round. So I've heard some very, very interesting answers so far. Now I'm ready to hear yours. So what is the most overrated film of all time?
The most like overrated movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. I gotta say maybe like Harry Potter. I've had the hardest time getting into those, and I know some people just love them, but
You
I
know what?
haven't. Yeah, I can't get into those.
You're not alone. I actually have tried it. I also tried. I just can't get into it at the moment. So, yeah, good answer in my opinion. I mean, I know someone out there listening is probably shaking their fists in the air. It happens.
Yeah, that no,
Yeah, they
that
might not agree with me.
no, makes sense. All right, so favorite video game?
Gotta be just the NHL game. So those games are maybe like Fortnite.
All right.
It's a classic.
Okay, I've heard that that Peter Mazika has been into playing with with Lock and Bets, and they've had like competitions. Are you getting in on that as well?
No, I'm not a big Xbox guy unless I'm playing like at somebody's house or like we got a little tournament
Ah,
going.
okay.
But yeah, I
Okay.
know
Is there
Pete.
like a
He
com
can play a bit.
Yeah. Is there a team Xbox or a team PS4 or what's the console of choice for the team?
There's a mix. There's actually a mix, but I know some guys are setting up like a hockey ultimate team for Intercession. So all the guys will be able to play together that have Xboxes. So I'll probably have to get in on that.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome. All right. So, complete 90 degree turn here, but hockey opponent that you're m looking most forward to playing against this season?
Gotta be North Dakota. There's still that little rivalry from 2 years ago, and it's very obviously really close to my hometown too. So I'll have a lot of friends going to that one and family. So I'm looking forward to that one.
We have had nearly every single person also say North Dakota. It looks like that's going to be the big match this
Yep.
year.
Yeah, well, the Ralph too is obviously in a pretty cool place to play, so that'll be fun.
Oh yeah. So are there family that are gonna come visit the see the game, obviously.
Yeah, I'll have a bunch of family there, and a few of my friends from home from high school go to school at North Dakota too. So I'm sure they'll be able to make it out to that one too.
Oh, nice. Yeah, because I know Haskinen said he was planning like a huge family reunion or something when they go play North
Yeah, pretty
Dakota.
much. It'll be similar for me, but I'm sure even bigger for him as he's only a couple hours from there.
It looks like at this rate, we're just going to have home advantage in North Dakota. You'd figure. Right. So, who on the Big Red hockey team is most likely to be a UFC competitor if he weren't on the hockey team?
I'd say Jack O'Leary. Surprisingly, he's as small as he is, he could cut weight, and he's actually a really good wrestler. I'm pretty sure he used to wrestle back in like early high school or middle school or something. But yeah, that's my answer.
Oh, that comes a little bit as a surprise. But
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
smaller guy, but he's shifty. He's
Yeah,
quick.
exactly. He could use it to his advantage.
Who was the person that Berard picked to like win a fight? It went at to successfully fist fight a polar bear.
I'm trying
I
to
don't know if it was one of the Tupkers or if it was somebody else, but that That's an amazing answer, Sam.
I'd pick Benny Tupker for that one. I'm sure that's Benny Bird I'd pick.
yeah.
To fist fight a polar bear and
Yeah,
win.
for that one, yeah.
Nice. Now, so what is your favorite? I know I mentioned your brothers a little bit earlier, but what is your favorite Malinsky family sibling rivalry moment? Have you guys have those? Or are you guys pretty tame and just chill with each other?
We've had a ton of battles. There's not even any specific ones that come to mind, but I just remember playing video games, like just playing Madden or NHL or something together, and it used to always end in a fist fight or something. But even occasionally now, when we're all home, it'll turn out like
Oh
that.
man.
But yeah, there's
Yeah.
always a little. They get pretty heated and pretty competitive.
Yeah. Was gonna say, man, that's crazy. Must be amazing for like Christmas or the holidays. You go home and just, man.
Yeah, the house gets a bit louder than normal, so I think my mom enjoys that. But yeah, it gets rowdy.
Nice, nice. All right. Favorite chant from the line of faithful.
Oh, that's a hard question. I feel like the famous "You just suck," or "It's all your actually it's all your fault." I like that one when they chant that at
Ooh,
the goalie.
okay.
That's always a pretty exciting one. And, it gets rowdy.
Yeah. Yeah, you
Psychological
just suck.
warfare, really.
Yeah.
It works. I am one of the biggest proponents of the fact that that actually works.
I genuinely think it gets in the goalie's head and probably helps us get that home game advantage too. So
Yeah.
yeah, we
Certainly got in
appreciate
Lyndon
that under
Marshall's head, I'll say that. RPI, man.
Oh
For sure.
man. That's never gonna go away, I think, in the next half decade.
No. No. Lyndon, I'm sorry.
Now, what is your favorite quote or saying from Schaefer?
Favorite quote or saying? I don't think I could pick one. He's got a lot, and I might get in trouble for it too, so
No,
might
that's
lose some power
okay.
play time.
I mean, I don't think anybody could be worse than Locke.
What was his?
Because Locke, well, no, Locke didn't even bring up a saying. It was like more of the fact that Schaefer, he, well, oh God, Schaefer, don't kill us. But he said that Schaefer couldn't spell business.
Oh yeah. That's our quote for the year is "back in business," and so he was trying to write it on the board, and took him a couple tries.
That's all right. It's all right. And again, coach, nothing personal, we promise. I can't spell the word rhythm. We all have our weaknesses.
Yes, exactly. Now, so with that, what is the best piece of advice you've ever received from anyone? And it does not have to be hockey related at all.
Best piece of advice. I mean, I don't know if I'd say this is the best, but just go with classic Gretzky quote, "I miss 100% of the shots you don't take." I obviously love shooting the puck, and like, I don't know, I'm gonna take it I'm gonna take a shot every chance I get. And one of my old coaches said, never apologize for shooting the puck and taking a chance, so you just gotta go after it.
Yeah, words to live by from the great one, for sure.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. Now, so if you were stuck on an island with and you could pick any team member, which team member would you most like to be stuck with?
Oh, that's a hard question too. There's a lot of guys I wouldn't want to be stuck with. But
That's okay too. Yeah.
I think Kyle Betts, I would have the longest chance of living. He just with how smart he is, and I think I could be around him for a while. So
Picking the electrical engineer, a very wise choice.
yeah, exactly.
Very wise choice indeed.
Yeah. All right. Now, can anyone on the team cook? And if so, who is the best chef?
It's not either the Tuckers. I know that because I've seen that firsthand. I don't think I'm a bad cook. Since I was here all last summer, I had to cook every meal for myself. So I was learning to cook steak, salmon, and grill a bit.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anyone in particular.
Nah.
Everyone can cook a bit, but.
Oh, nice. Now, you singled out the Tucker twins as the guys who you wouldn't pick to be the best cooks. Is there a story behind that? Did somebody almost burn the house down or something?
It's bad. I mean, Zach set off the fire alarm countless times. And then the fire department shows up. So that's,
oh no,
that's part of it. And even just with things like when they cook their eggs, they just don't look good at all. And I don't think I'd ever eat them, but they don't hesitate to. So
come on, Sam, you got to help them out. If you could cook steak and salmon, I'm pretty sure you could help them out with some eggs.
I've tried to help them, but they say they like it the way they cook it, and so I just kind of let them be. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess everyone has their own style.
Yeah.
Now, who on the team just never seems to get upset or just perpetually happy, like a gentle giant?
Yeah, I think we've got a few guys like that. Like maybe Andre Sanica, he's always got a smile on his face, and he's just enjoying all the little things in life. Or even like Sully Mac, he's always got a smile on his face. So I don't know. We've got a lot of guys like that.
Fair enough.
Interesting. I would have put my bets on Cody Haskinen. Is that like, does he ever snap before? He seems like just oozes this aura of like, yeah, I'm just a nice guy from North Dakota, you know? Like,
yeah. I mean, yeah, he might. He's always got a smile on his face, but on the ice, he's got a bit of a temper, which is good. I think that helps him out in his game too. So
wait. So the lyrics to the song are I think he's like six Hasty smiles or something on the 12 Days of Christmas song. So that's the reason I brought that up there.
But he's got a good smile, and off the ice, he's always smiling. So
no, that's great. That's great. Now I just wanted to flip that question on his head. So we know the gentle giant. Now, who's the best chirper on the team? Who's always likes to get in people's faces and just ruffle some feathers, man?
I got to go with Matt Steinberg. I'd say he's my answer. You can get under guy's skin pretty easily.
Do you have a favorite Steinberg moment that you just like to keep going back to?
None in particular, but I feel like it's just constant. He knows how to egg guys on, and he's good at it. So, it's pretty funny to witness.
I was gonna say we've had a couple votes for Matt Steinberg in that department.
Can't say I'm surprised.
Now, is it fair to assume that football is your favorite sport outside of hockey?
I'd say probably, yeah. I don't actually watch a ton of football. I used to, but like this summer we'd go out and we'd just kind of throw the football around, and obviously I have fun with that, just kind of reliving my football days. But I like to golf as well in the summer. So
that's nice. Like taking, just relaxing with the sport pretty much.
Yeah, exactly.
I know you said you haven't watched football in a while, but I'm guessing you're a Minnesota Vikings fan.
I am, yeah. Unfortunately, they've struggled.
Oh, unfortunately.
I like watching them.
So. I get it. I mean, right now they're pretty mid-tier if I have to rank them. I know they're second in the NFC North, but I mean, you guys have the Packers. It's kind of hard.
Yep, exactly. It can be frustrating at times, but they're fun to watch.
All right. Now, who on the team you've seen has the strangest pregame routine?
Um, That's a hard question. I honestly haven't noticed anyone in particular that's got that weird routine. Yeah, I can't even give you an answer.
Fair enough, Dan. That
Sorry.
that's all right. We like honest answers here. But let
Yeah,
me
it's all
ask
pretty
you.
standard.
Let me ask you though, Sam. Sorry. But let me ask you, do you have a pregame routine?
Not really. I pretty much just tape my sticks. And then, I don't know, I go play sewer, just kick the soccer ball around and hang out in the stands and just kind of get a feel for the arena. And then obviously do our dynamic warm up, but nothing crazy.
That is very interesting because so far everyone else except for Ben Berard has said exactly what you've said, that majority of the team doesn't have any odd pregame routines or they can't think of anybody. And then Berard basically said we were full of crap and that we'd find that eventually as we get down the line that there are some people who have some weird pregame routines. So I don't know if that's just an outlier or what's going on there, but very interesting. No, thank you for that.
All right, and just the last question for you, Sam. But let's say in a weird, dramatic emergency scenario, would you ever play goaltender?
I would, yeah. I don't think I'd be the guy they'd call up, but if I had to, yeah, I would. It'd be tough to be a bit embarrassing, I'd say, but I think I could make a few saves and hold my ground somewhat.
Fair enough. Is there a player who you think would be called before you in those dire, dramatic emergency situations?
I don't think I'd be the guy, but I don't know. I don't know who would.
Fair enough. For some reason, I was putting my money on Seb. I don't know why.
Yeah, maybe him or yeah, I'm not sure.
Fair
Now,
enough.
wait. I just wanted to ask one last question, 'cause just to get your random opinion on this. So, when is it permissible in your mind to start listening to holiday music? Is it do you like is it okay? Are you nuts if you start before Thanksgiving, or do you have to wait until like the middle of December to finally start listening to holiday music, in your opinion?
I think you can start listening to it whenever you want, honestly. Like, I got no issue if you're doing it in middle of November or just a week before Christmas. I think I personally like to wait until, I'd say right about now, like December 1st, or until it once there's like snow on the ground. I think that's a good time to start. But
Yeah,
yeah, whenever.
when it
That's a good
snows. I
answer.
love that. That's a great answer. No, thank you for that. That's great.
All right. And with that, we just got to give you a big, big, big thanks. Of course, to our favorite player, Sam Malinsky. Thank you so much for joining us. And of course, good luck this weekend and for this season overall.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Course, it's our pleasure.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thank you so much. It's been awesome. Always great to hear from Sam Malinsky. Oh, so eloquent with his answers. I absolutely loved that. What an amazing conversation to have had with him. What do you think, Sean? Did you like that conversation?
Of course I did. Of course,
Oh, yeah.
that dude, Sam, is actually, he's a good speaker. He's a really good speaker, really down to earth dude. Really, he's just a fun dude to talk with, really. Even post recording, we had a little bit of a conversation with him about the Minnesota Vikings and amongst other things, really. But
Yes.
overall, really down to earth guy, especially for being amongst, again, the top five in the nation as a defenseman. Really cool dude.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It was a great conversation, and always big thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you to Sam Malinsky and the entire Big Red hockey team, because without this, this wouldn't be possible without you guys. So we love creating content for this. And it's always a fun time.
Well said.
And so with that, let's look into our week ahead. So next week we have a tough road trip, and it arguably will be the toughest of the season to end the semester, because we start out here in
Canton, New York, Friday night, next Friday. That is, let's look at it real quick. It is December 3rd.
Yes.
Friday, December 3rd in Canton, New York against St. Lawrence. Now, St. Lawrence is currently sixth in the ECAC with 9 points, and they're at 2-2-2, so 500, a straight 500 actually across the ECAC play. So, but I wouldn't sleep on them. I was watching them. They beat Princeton a while back, and that was definitely a tough game that they played. So I think they're going forward. I think that Big Red will definitely have to use all 60 minutes and use every inch of ice that they can to crash the net. And definitely power play chances, those are gold. So that going forward for them is going to be what they're going to need to focus on to get this W, I think. And now, Sean, what about Saturday? Because Saturday, everybody's waiting for Saturday night. I know this. We got a bone to pick.
And like you pretty much implied, this is definitely possibly the toughest way to end – well, really to end the year for now, since, you know, 2021, then they're going to replay in 2022. But really, what a tough way to end it. They have to go to Potsdam, New York, and face Clarkson, the Clarkson Golden Knights. Now, Clarkson right now sit at third in the ECAC with 11 points at 3-2-1, with an overall record of eight wins, four and three, really. Now, they have defeated Harvard. They have defeated Princeton. And they defeated Dartmouth, scoring 17 goals in three games. That is unreal. 17 goals in three games. That's going to be a test of Cornell's defense. That's averaging nearly 6 goals a game. So Cornell's defense is really going to have to come out big per usual. We see that their penalty kill system always works. It's always efficient. But can Cornell take advantage of power plays, especially against such a powerful Clarkson side? In their past 6 games, they've gone unbeaten as well. They have 4 wins and 2 ties. In fact, their last result came at the University of Wisconsin, where they really slapped them around 3-0. So Cornell's defense is really just going to have to be the superstars. And if they're not, and if anything happens to them, well, we saw that the offense can produce some magic like we saw in Madison Square Garden. That being said, though, we have to remember that this Clarkson side, you know, also slapped around Princeton 8-3.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Once again, this will be a really tough way for Cornell to end 2021 and obviously open up to 2022. But Cornell can definitely do this. And if Cornell can really attain a victory from this match, it'd really just be worth diamonds in the ECAC standings, not to mention national rankings.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%, but I think this game, Saturday night in Potsdam, New York, is going to be – this is where the gauntlet is going to be thrown down, because this is a rivalry game. You know, there are memories. The last time we played Clarkson, the last time I remember – if I remember correctly, 2019-2020, we played them in Potsdam. We beat them 3-2. It was a narrow, narrow margin of victory there. And then they came to line up for the last game before COVID, and we beat them 5-1. Now, keep in mind, Clarkson has had a lot of turnover since they have a brand new tandem of goalies, and they have a brand new defensive core, as far as I'm aware. So this is going to be a new team in a lot of ways, and a very tough team, from what it seems. Now, it's very interesting to note that both Cornell and Clarkson are on a 6-game winning streak. And, well, hopefully, depending on their results on next Friday, will be 7-game winning streaks going into this game. Now, if that is indeed the case, somebody's got to lose.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to lose. That's just a sad reality of playing hockey, is that there must be one winner and one loser, unless you tie, and even then somebody always gets 2 points out of it. And I think that this is going to be like Harvard and Clarkson, those two teams are going to be the two biggest tests of the Big Red's endurance, of their defense, of their power play, certainly, and of their passing, their cycling. Just every element of their game is going to need to be that much more dialed in to win this game, because this is a team that, again, hasn't lost in six games, and they're not intent. I bet my ass they're not intent on losing. So, you know, this is going to be a good weekend of hockey, and it'll be an exciting match to definitely to see. And if we can get the W, it'll definitely mean it'll do worlds for the morale of the team and just for the growth of the team in general, I think. But I am confident that the Big Red can pull this off, but it is going, and I dare I play the devil's advocate, but this is going to be a tough game. I'm not sugarcoating anything here. This will be a very tough game, but I think they can do it.
Right. Yeah. So let's hope, obviously, that the Cornell Big Red end 2021 with a W. Again, it'll be a toughly and tightly contested W, assuming it does happen. But that's what we're here for, right? We're always here to root them on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So with that, we just want to give a special shout out to Ben Rudoy once more, our latest statistician, always putting in the work, the elbow grease, really, and providing us those very useful stats. Once again, we thank you so much, man.
Yeah.
And really, with that,
from the bottom of our hearts, man.
Yep. And with that, we also thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Big Red Hockey Cast. This has been a Big Red Sports Network production.